Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. It's a Tuesday. It is a Talking Tuesday, a CNC Tuesday, and more importantly, it is the day that we look at the comments of Dabo Swinney and Will Muschamp both. Willie P and Diesel here with you on the 12th day of November 2019. We start to get ready for South Carolina and Texas A&M, Clemson and Wake Forest. A lot to get to today. Of course, we will also hear the college football playoff rankings for the second installment of such tonight. It'll happen right after we go off the air, so we'll be able to at least kind of preview what that looks like, kind of give you our best predictions as to what will happen. We kind of know who the number one, two, and three teams are going to be. The biggest question that resembles now is who is number four? Is it Alabama? Is it Georgia? Is it Oregon? Is it Minnesota? Is it somebody else that we're not thinking of? We will dive into all that. Will the order be completely messed up, kind of like we thought it was the first week, as we've certainly been talking a lot about this over the course of the last couple of weeks, and we'll break it all down for you probably more tomorrow, just because we'll have the actual rankings there, but we'll also get you ready for that here tonight. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line is at 71307. Please start your message with ESPN and be a part of the program that way. As we mentioned, to CNC Tuesday, Matt Connolly of the state newspaper, Clemson beat writer, will join us a little bit after 4:25. Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central, will do the same at 6:25. Some other issues to talk about, including the debate that was spawned on yesterday's show that will cause a lot of controversy and consternation, the practice of ketchup drizzling versus ketchup dipping. We will get to the bottom of this today. Yours truly and Diesel have very opposing views on this type of conduct and candor. And let's just be real. This will be something that dominates the second hour of our show, because I'm very, very much a proponent of the dipping, and Diesel prefers to drizzle, which tells you everything you need to know about him.
It's okay. I'll prove you wrong for the third time on this show. And the listeners will back me up. You've been proven wrong twice already. As far as going to the drive-thru to get a drink, which drives you insane, about the waffle fries at Chick-fil-A, you've been proven wrong about that one. So this is going to be a 3-for-3 total domination type show, honestly.
So over 3.5 months, you've been able to prove me wrong twice. Okay.
On the important matters, yes.
Okay. So on the important matters, of course. The important matters of foodstuffs, of course. We'll talk about Coach O. We really didn't get into the LSU-Alabama game as much as I wanted to yesterday, but there was an element of that I think we need to at least touch on that we unintentionally ignored during yesterday's program, which we'll talk about here coming up. The biggest questions that arise now, and mainly for South Carolina, for Clemson, it's very inconsequential. Win and get in, take care of your business, and be done. But for South Carolina, there's a much greater import on this weekend's contest against Texas A&M than there might have been recently, because a loss in this contest completely ensures that they will not get to a bowl, because even if they get to be 5-7, I don't think that they would be looking at as one of those teams that gets exempt because of their APR to go to a bowl game with 5 wins. I don't think it'll work that way for them. It'll be basically ensuring that the final game they play is in the Palmetto Bowl in Clemson, or in South Carolina at Williams-Brice Stadium 2 weeks from Saturday. And there are a lot of valid questions being asked of Will Muschamp and the South Carolina coaching staff and the South Carolina Athletic Department on the state of the program. Will Muschamp offered his best answer that he can give at this point when he was asked about it Tuesday.
This is a results business. It's about winning games at the end of the day, and we haven't won enough games. So that's the bottom line. So, you know, as far as the main progress that needs to be made is winning football games. So we haven't made that progress. I think over a three-year period of time, this staff's won more games than anybody, any staff has in school history. So we actually have done a couple good things around here, okay? And we've had a very inconsistent year. And I'll continue to evaluate that, and when the season's over, make the decision we need to make moving forward. We've had, in our first 3 years, more success than anybody else has, and we haven't played as consistently we need to, and there's some things that we need to address as we move forward. And, you know, continue to support these players, continue to support, you know, what they do. We've got another home game, and we need to get two wins and go to a bowl game. So, you know, we've had some success here before that some other people haven't, and we look forward to a long tenure here at South Carolina.
I love how Will Muschamp likes to try to move the goalposts here and say, well, you know, we had more success here than anybody else has in the first 3 years. That's not the reason why people are knocking at Williams-Brice Stadium's gates with pitchforks and torches, Will. It's because you, before the season, said that this was the best team that you had here. And aside from what was a completely, at least right now, inexplicable victory over Georgia, this season has been nothing but a fall flat on the face. I mean, this is... It's not a worse season than the Spurrier Sean Elliott year, but it feels just as bad for a lot of Gamecock fans because the program feels rudderless right now. I understand there's injuries. I understand you had to go to a freshman quarterback a lot sooner than you might have wanted to. I understand that you have made some progress at certain positions, linebacker being chief among them, defensive line being chief among them, but you've been inconsistent in the secondary. It's either been feast or famine. Either you get a three-interception game from Israel Mukwamu, or you have guys getting beat like Sousa drums. You cannot run the football to save your life against teams you should be able to dominate. This offensive line has regressed, and the wide receiving group obviously misses a playmaking threat like Deebo Samuel, and Bryan Edwards cannot command that type of attention on his own and lead the offense. The fact is, Bryan Edwards was made great because of the fact that Deebo Samuel was on the other side of him to take away the attention and have him be on single coverage. Edwards is not good enough to be double coverage. He just isn't. So what that tells me is that there are inconsistencies with what you're doing with this program, and changes need to be made. He was asked about whether or not there'd be any changes made after the offseason. He says at the appropriate time we'll address that. But be that as it may, if you're a South Carolina fan, it's hard to find a lot of faith right now in this program. And it's hard to find a lot of faith in where this season is and what's happening next year. Now, the other part of this, too, that has to really be put into question and thought about is the fact that next year's schedule is just as hard as this one. It's not exactly going to be forgiving because you replace in the SEC West a home game with Alabama with a road game at Tiger Stadium at LSU, the team that right now is number one team in the country. You have to go to Florida. You have to go to Kentucky, where you haven't won in a couple of years. Yes, you replace your main non-conference game outside of the Clemson contest with Coastal Carolina and East Carolina. But after you lost to App State, you really can't be favored over anybody right now. No offense to Diesel's Mountaineers. But you lose at home to App State, it's pretty hard to find yourself favored against anybody right now other than the two teams you've already beat.
No, I don't take offense to that, honestly. I mean, an App State should not go on. Even a good to – I would not call App State an elite group of five team. Not yet. Not yet. They're on that edge, but they're not there yet. So a good group of five team should not be able to go on the road at night in prime time and beat even a mediocre SEC team. Because, again, South Carolina is littered with 3 and 4 stars all over the field. They have every single advantage. There's no reason whatsoever they should lose that game.
It's very conceivable that the only win that South Carolina can get next year in the month of November will be against Wofford. Put it that way. So either you figure out a way to change that trajectory, or you go out with a whimper in 2020. And that will be the end game, and that will be the end slash last straw for Will Muschamp. So he needs to change the trajectory of this. The offensive play calling needs to be a lot more inspired. I said yesterday Dan Werner should be the offensive coordinator and the play caller. He's miscast in the role as quarterback coach. He needs to be more elevated on that staff. I'm not saying Brian McClendon has to go, but usually the way that those things work is that you don't put a guy who was your offensive coordinator and demote him and keep him on staff. Who in their right mind would say, you know what, after we promoted you and we thought very good of you, after your one-game trial that was somewhat lukewarm, how about we, you know, keep you on staff, demote you, pay you a less salary, but tell you how awesome it is that we want you on this staff? Do you think that they'd actually want – that person would actually want to do that? I'd be surprised if BMAC didn't say, you know what, forget you. So why not? Probably it's time to move on with Brian McClendon. I honestly think it might be time to move on from Tavares Robinson. Will Muschamp is going to be pressured, regardless of his denial today of the football scoop report. He's going to be pressured to make some staff changes. And they made some staff changes last year. They brought in a running back coach in Thomas Brown, who, yes, got better running backs in there, but they've not been able to run the football in three of their losses this year. I don't know if it's Thomas Brown's fault or if it's the offensive line's fault, but needless to say, that particular part of the football team has far from fixed. They brought in John Scott Jr. in the defensive line, and he's been great. Taking it over from Lance Thompson. But there are a lot of questions and not enough answers for Will Muschamp going into the 2019 offseason. Meanwhile, for Clemson, like we said before, the edict is simple. Win, move on. You're going to be in the college football playoff now after the crazy chaotic week that we had last weekend. Minnesota defeating Penn State. LSU supplanting Alabama in the hierarchy of the Southeastern Conference, at least in the West Division. And there'll be a lot of people who at least look at Clemson, at least now, is saying, oh, maybe we overlooked them. Maybe we didn't necessarily rate them as high. They're going to be number three. I don't know if that's necessarily number three by default, but they're going to be there. And regardless, they just have to, again, continue to win in order to prove their worth against a Wake Forest team that's lost two games that are hard to really kind of find the reasoning behind it. They lost at Virginia Tech in a 36-17 contest at Lane Stadium last weekend that has a lot of people scratching their heads. And also that 62-59 shootout that took place in Wake Forest against Louisville in October. One thing, though, that is a constant right now with Will Muschamp is the fact, with Dabo Swinney, is that Dave Clawson approached Dabo about the game that they played last year between the two squads at Winston-Salem, and he's happy that they went through that experience because it made them a better football team.
They're just a little more experienced. I think that they, you know, it was one of the things that Dave told me after our game last year. It was kind of a weird deal. He thanked me. He said it was the best thing that happened to us. He said, because it made us better. And I think they won maybe five in a row after us or something. I know they went on a winning streak after our game last year. And he just felt like it kind of got some guys focused the way they needed to be. And they were able to get better from it. But they're just playing with great discipline. They don't beat themselves. I mean, again, they're one of the best in the country on turnovers. They're almost 50% on third down. What they're doing on offense, that quarterback and that offense, very, very experienced offensive line, guys that have a lot of cohesion, backs know what they're doing, and they go, those guys outside are playmakers. I mean, you got guys going to play on Sunday.
He's not misremembering the fact that game last year was lopsided. 63-3 was the final. They did play Florida State the next week and lose, but then the next 5 weeks after that, Louisville, Syracuse, NC State, Pitt, and Duke all wins for Wake Forest, and then a 37-34 win over Memphis in the Birmingham Bowl. No Sage Surratt for the Wake Forest offense. He'll be out. Kendall Hinton is basically their number one receiver right now, as is Waydell Jones. They're very much dealing from a situation of atrophy from the wide receiver position. Jamie Newman is that quarterback. Of course, you remember what his hierarchy and at least his is wrote to that is Hinton, of course, the ex-quarterback, the redshirt senior. He's become a very big part of that offense. But Surratt and Washington being a part of that offense is very much something that that they will not necessarily be with this week. So Wake Forest will have to deal with the loss of those two players in what was a pretty good passing game for them, but now we'll have to deal without those. 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number, text line is at 71307. As we said, CNC Tuesday, Matt Connolly of the state newspaper. He will join us coming up next to talk about this Clemson-Wake Forest tilt more and what exactly he thought of Clemson's showing against NC State. They were able to once again prove to everybody that they are not a team that's going to regress, a team that is going to be one that has something to say about the college football playoff before the season is out. Willie P. and Diesel here with you as we continue on a Tuesday on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Willie P. and Diesel here with you on a Tuesday. It's now time, as it is on a CNC Tuesday, to bring in our good friend Matt Connolly of the state newspaper, Clemson beat writer, who will join us to get ready for Clemson's final ACC contest against Wake Forest before the reuniting of the two in-state rivals in the Palmetto Bowl 2 weeks from Saturday. What's going on, Matty C? How are you?
Doing great, man. How's it going?
I'm well. This, obviously, another week for Clemson to kind of flex its muscle. The one thing that I look at from last week, to me, Matt, is the fact that I think this team took the number 5 ranking in the college football playoff personal. I know that Dabo Swinney said all the right things outwardly, but it seems to me that what they were able to do on Saturday was very intentional and something they took very personally. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think NC State was a team that was really struggling coming into that game, you know, trying to figure out the quarterback situation. And so, you know, you got a Clemson defense that's playing really well against a freshman quarterback who had really struggled the previous week, making his first career start. You know, it was kind of set up for it to get pretty ugly, and it did. So, I mean, I thought, you know, Clemson really just controlled the game from the start, played well, took a 28-0 lead in the first quarter and really never looked back. So, not a big surprise. That was kind of what I expected. Like you mentioned, particularly after the rankings came out, Clemson was number 5 and kind of, I think, wanted to make a statement and just continue to play well and kind of dominate the opponent, which is what they've done really since the North Carolina game. They've won in blowouts every week since. So not a big surprise with what unfolded last week.
You know, Matty, I know that John Swofford wants all of his member schools to play nice, and the first rule about Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club, but how much do you believe Dabo and Dave Doran when they say they've buried the hatchet?
Not at all.
Good.
I mean, I think it was pretty obvious that, you know, when Dabo's throwing with 30 seconds left in the game and kind of doing hurry up when they get the ball. I guess I shouldn't say hurry up, but he certainly wasn't taking his time. I think they snapped it with 20 seconds or so left on the play clock in the final minute, and you know, Doran's calling time out to tell his defense to buckle down and, you know, try to get a stop right there at the end. I think it was pretty clear that they're not huge fans of each other. And then even the post-game handshake was kind of Dabo said that they wish each other luck and all this kind of stuff. But when you watched it, it was pretty much just a quick blow by really on Doran's part, but he got out of there pretty quickly and kind of, I guess, kind of didn't seem overly happy with the whole situation. So I think there's still certainly some animosity there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the greatest part about this whole thing is that there were some people, I wasn't one of them, who took exception to Dabo doing what he did and running up the score. And I feel like, number one, you have to know the history between these two schools and particularly these two head coaches. And number two, it's almost as if the committee has given him no choice at this point.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with it. I mean, you know, it is what it is at this point. I think Clemson's going out and trying to make a statement. And if the committee says that style points matter and they kind of care about that kind of stuff, then, you know, that's going to continue to happen. So I think when they can kind of punch in one late, it's not something that they're going to try to avoid or anything like that. You know, particularly when they used to play a coach like Doran in a program they've had some history with lately. So I didn't really have a problem with it at all. And it wasn't the starters that were playing. You know, at that point in the game, it was back up. So I really didn't see anything wrong with it.
Certainly so. We're talking, of course, with Matt Connolly of the State newspaper, joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, on the Radio.com app. I find it, I don't want to say comical, but somewhat ironic that Dabo Swinney spent a lot of time talking about the three great receivers, as he put it, on Wake Forest, and yet two of those receivers, Scotty Washington and Sage Surratt, aren't going to play this week against Clemson. So a much diminished Demon Deacon squad comes into Death Valley this weekend. What kind of Wake Forest team are we expecting? Are we expecting a team that won seven games? Or are we expecting this team almost kind of in the same way as NC State, coming in with a whimper, not necessarily a bang?
Yeah, I think in some ways it's disappointing. I think even for Clemson fans and even the Clemson staff and players, it's disappointing that, you know, they're not getting a lot of these teams at full strength. You mentioned NC State being without a starting quarterback. Boston College was without a starting quarterback. And, you know, that was a whole different kind of game as well. They didn't really have the passing threat. It was really A.J. Dillon, and that was about it. So, you know, that game was a lot different than I think it could have been, as far as at least being a challenge and a little more competitive. And then it'll be, I think, the same this week with Wake Forest when you look at not having two of their top three receivers and arguably the best receiver in the country, and Sage Surratt with the year that he was having, already over 1,000 yards. I think he had 11 touchdowns already, so he was having a great year. And then Scotty Washington was playing really well as well, had 7 touchdowns, I think, and averaging 20 yards a catch or more. So, you know, two of their top three receivers are out, and there's not a whole lot of depth behind them in terms of guys that have played a lot and put up meaningful stats. So, certainly a huge blow for Wake Forest, and kind of, I think, disappointing that maybe the game's not going to be quite as challenging as maybe it could have been, or, you know, at least have a competitive game, which is something Clemson hadn't had in a long time at this point.
Clemson beat writer Matt Connolly of the State newspaper joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Looking at this senior night game, which obviously brings a lot of the sentimentality to the forefront, not a ginormous senior class, but certainly an impactful one. Which of the stories of the seniors that will be making that final walk down Death Valley's Hill this weekend intrigues you the most?
Yes, I'm actually doing a story now on Kayvon Wallace. That'll come out later this week. But he's a guy, just everything he overcame to get to Clemson and kind of what he was able to do and the year that he's had and the career that he's had after coming in as a two-star recruit, I think is pretty intriguing. Then you look at, I know he's not technically a senior, but a guy like Isaiah Simmons, who's going to graduate, he'll save him a scholarship, but he doesn't expect to have him back. But
I wouldn't either, Matt. I would go.
He's probably going to go take his top 10 pick money.
Yes.
But a guy like Isaiah that just came in, kind of similar. He wasn't a two-star recruit, but he wasn't getting recruited by a ton of people. And you look at the year that he's had and really the career that he's had, now he's got a chance to be a top 10 pick. So, I mean, you know, you mentioned it's not a really big senior class, but those guys, Chad Smith at linebacker, who's been here a long time, Tanner Muse at safety, who's a five-year guy. I mean, there's a lot of veterans, particularly on defense, John Simpson at offensive line. You know, a lot of guys that maybe don't get talked about a ton, but they're important pieces of this team and that have kind of helped build the program. It's a lot of important seniors that'll make their final game Saturday at Death Valley.
The one thing, the one position that at least will have a lot of, again, not atrophy, but will lose a lot of players, at least at the forefront, is the offensive line. You think about Simpson, Ankrum, Cervenka, Pollard, all those guys who are on that offensive line will exit. How well do you think that this Clemson team is equipped with not only the experience that they've built, obviously, in the some of the garbage time they've been able to use this year, but also some of the backups they've been able to have mature? How equipped do you think they are to replenishing that that mass exodus that seems to be leaving them on the O-line, at least with the starters?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's a blow with what they're leaving, but, you know, they've got some guys that they feel good about. Jackson Carman, obviously, at left tackle will be back, and that's a huge piece to have him coming back. Matt Bockhorst is a guy that's played a lot of football, so they have some guys behind these starters that they feel good about. And they've really recruited well at that position the last couple of years. And I know it was kind of, for a while there, Clemson kind of struggled to get in some of the top recruits on the offensive line, but they really recruited better and better there recently, and as they've kind of produced more offensive linemen that have had solid careers. So I think they'll be fine. You know, it is that in the secondary, probably the biggest concerns looking ahead to next year. But I think it'll be a group that'll be fine and maybe take a little bit of time to gel. But you know, once they get going under Robbie Caldwell, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, Cade Stewart, Will Putnam, Chandler Reeves, some of those guys too as well, including Bockhorst, who you mentioned, who is going to be going into his junior season next year. More than likely will be starting at one of the two guard spots. You expect Clemson to be number three tonight, no surprise, maybe even at number two, or where are you expecting to see them tonight in the rankings?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they're anywhere higher than number three. So number three would be my guess. If it was me, I think LSU should probably jump Ohio State at this point, just with the way that they played and kind of the resume that they have. And I know that Alabama game ended up close at the end, but, man, they really controlled that game and were really impressive. So with that win, the Florida win, the Auburn win, if it was me, I'd have LSU number one and then Ohio State probably number two.
I know since we've last talked, Clemson basketball has played three games. I don't know if you were able to take much out of the two contests since the ACC opening contest to Virginia Tech, but what do you make at least of the opening stanza of the Brad Brownell 2019-2020 campaign?
Yeah, I think they're getting better. I mean, I think there are going to be some growing pains early on, and we can kind of see that. But I think there's some talent there. I think Al Amir Dawes at point guard has been really good, and it's not necessarily a present surprise because they thought he would be pretty good, but just the fact that he's gone out and taking care of the ball and played pretty well, I think is promising for them. And then Tevin Mack, a guy coming in from that was at Texas and Alabama and now coming in trying to kind of find his way, I think they have to be pleased with what he's done so far. I mean, he's a guy that he can get hot and put up a lot of points in a hurry, and that's something that's Clemson team needs after they lost four starters from last year. So I think both of those are promising. You know, Mack in particular, I'm interested to see how he continues to develop and kind of if he's able to continue to fit in. That's one of the things he talked about, was trying to fit in with this group and some of these players that he wasn't recruited with and kind of just trying to find his way on the team. So I think he's been great about that so far, not forcing shots, but, you know, at the same time, when he gets hot, he can fill it up in a hurry. We saw that against Virginia Tech. He had 8 points in about a minute and a half span. So I think those two players in particular kind of impressed me so far this year, and I think it's still a team that has a chance to maybe reach the middle of the pack in the ACC and then potentially be on the bubble to be a NIT/NCAA tournament team before it's all said and done.
Matt Connolly, State Newspaper. Always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon.
That is Matt Connolly joining us here on ESPN Upstate. Did want to at least touch on this while I have it in front of me. They have a whole section dedicated to Travis Etienne with a record watch. He's already got the career rushing touchdown record. He is two behind Raymond Priester for the all-time rushing yardage title at Clemson. And he has 448 carries. The man who leads it, Priester, had 805 carries. And Etienne is behind him by only about 330 yards. So he might obliterate that when it's all said and done, especially if he gets to play a full postseason and he gets two more regular season games at least and an ACC championship.
And I don't know how early Priester was coming out in games, but typically ETN doesn't play past very far into the second half.
94, 97 seasons, he wasn't coming out, put right. it that way. And the yards per carry thing is the one that's the most most intriguing. He is the career leader in yards per carry at 8.12 yards per carry.
Wow.
448 carries, 3,638 yards. Tavian Feaster, honestly, is the third highest career maker in that regard at Clemson. On just 222 carries, he had 1,330 yards, which is 5.9 yards a carry. Number two on that list is Lynn J. Dixon, but again, only a season and a half, really, of work for Dixon. So he has plenty more of opportunity to try and at least catch up to ETN or possibly surpass it. Still has a long way to go to try and get the C.J. Spiller all-purpose yards record, but he has more total touchdowns than Spiller, 54, including 50 of those on the ground, which broke James Davis's record earlier this year. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. We'll get back into the Gamecocks as well. And also back into the conversation about who number four should be. Is it Bama? Is it Georgia? Minnesota? Baylor? Oregon? Utah? It's a big, big fight to try and get that final seat at the table, at least in the second installment of the college football playoff rankings, which we'll find out tonight at 7. Willie P. and Diesel here with you. It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I am not necessarily one who likes to spike the football on these issues. But I would just like to point out for the listening public that Diesel's getting crushed right now in the ketchup drizzle versus ketchup dip debate. We're not going to do the whole thing now.
Yeah, but you're a guy who thinks that, you know, the size of the victory doesn't matter. It doesn't matter it's lopsided. Doesn't matter if it's a 50-point win or a 1-point win. It's the same.
Except this would not be a good loss by the college football ranking matters. But this is a thumping. This would be a thumping. I don't know what the college football equivalent of this would be. Who was the last team to get basically blown out as a ranked team on their home field? Because that's what this looks like right now. Because you literally tried to rig this question. In a way,
well, I asked the question as straightforward as it could possibly be asked.
Okay, just want to make sure you were giving everybody a fair shake. How do you catch up your fries, dip or drizzle?
So you're calling into question my methods when there's nothing wrong with the method?
I'm just.
God, you have a career at CNN, I swear.
Oh, is that it? Is that it? Are you accusing me of?
Tomfoolery is what I'm accusing you of.
Are you accusing me of delivering fake news?
Chicanery.
Are you accusing me of delivering fake news?
Deplorable and chicanerous.
92% of the listening public on Straight Up with Sturge's Twitter page at ESPN Upstate, 92% of you say you dip your fries. I've never been so proud of the Upstate of South Carolina. Not before or since.
Are you really going to take the side of a guy who doesn't like Chick-fil-A waffle fries and doesn't like dogs?
Who said that I don't like dogs?
He just said it. You just heard him say it.
Who said
it? He said, I don't like dogs. You just heard him say it.
When did I say that? I never said
that. When did you say what?
I'm not doing it. I'm not saying it. Why are you accusing me of not liking dogs when I've never said that in my entire life to you? This is. You just like to try and walk me down. You're trying to walk me like a dog down a very, very dark path that I don't want
to
go on.
This guy's into weird stuff. He likes to get walked like a dog. Guys, you can't side with this guy. Clearly, he has mental stability issues.
Yeah, well, I walk around calling my girlfriend's mommy and everything too, right? Is that how that works too?
Do you? That's weird too.
That's not the way that I work. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Let's go to Delvin, who is in Fountain Inn, and Delvin is on ESPN Upstate.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
I'm well, Delvin. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. What do you think about some of the board of directors asking? I think the state interviewed them, coming out publicly saying how they feel about the situation in the athletic department. The football team, so sweet.
Yeah, the state newspaper is trying to cover all angles here with Will Muschamp and his supposed job insecurity. What is very much at least something that I believe is that they're not going to use state money to dip into those coffers to try and buy out Will Muschamp. I don't think that's good business. I don't think it's a good business practice. And from what I can gather, I think Bob Caslin is going to try and stay out of this and let his athletic director direct. You still with me, Delvin? Yeah. I guess Delvin's gone.
Okay.
That's all I was.
We didn't get to find out what Delvin thinks about dip or drizzle.
I was wondering about Delvin's point on that. Matt Braswell says dip, but in Duke's mayonnaise. Go move to Holland.
What?
Move to Holland.
What?
Move to the Dutchland. Matt Braswell. That's what they do over
there.
Where
are you kids going? We're going over the border to Canada to get some French fries and gravy, sir.
Going over to Canada to get some French fries and gravy, sir? Poutine. Poutine. Almost made it. littering and smoking the reefer. Just make sure you don't get those gummies from the place that Dion Waiters got the gummies. And make sure when you try the gummies, you only take half at a time. Yeah, that's what they do overseas with the French fries. They do it in mayonnaise, which, as you know, my aversion to white condiments, I find it inherently disgusting.
I think we can both agree that that's weird.
Yes.
Okay. We are presenting a united front against mayonnaise on fries.
We've
found common ground.
Amazingly, you and I have come to an accord on that. Harold is wanting to chime in. Harold, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Okay. Good afternoon, guys. I'm going to get this out of the way first when it comes to dipping and dribble. If I got wafers, you know, those waffles, I like to dribble. This French fries, I like to dip, but I like to put Texas Pete. I like to mix it.
Okay.
You know,
okay. So he's a little bit of both. A little AC/DC with Harold. Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Anyway, listen. So you covered much, you covered a coaching staff.
Yes.
Pretty much. I can't, the only thing, you know, I told this on Mark, with the exception of Richard Bale, that 1 year interim, every coach, go back to Rex Enright, has got the 5 years. So he's coming back, but.
No, I don't think anybody disagrees with that.
Yeah. But he's going to have some, listen. He's got to have some major changes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes, he has to make changes. He has to make some changes.
I'll get my little thing in about the playoff here, you know. I think LSU is going to probably jump to one unless Alabama's come back. And, of course, you know, Ohio State, too. Clemson's locked in at three. And you can't put Georgia ahead of Alabama for a one getting in there, you know. So
you can because they have a better loss. You can because they have a better loss.
Right. And Clemson's, listen, the only bump they got, they just better hope that little squirrel that climbed the Georgia's tree, that black squirrel, don't climb theirs. But, you know, Clemson's going to be in that playoff.
Oh, yeah, they're fine. Appreciate the call, Harold. There's a cocaine joke there with the bump, but I'm not going to go there. You can find cocaine in anything. No, we're not doing that. It's funny.
Funny guy.
The schnozberries taste like schnozberries, says Dexter from the 585. We're just going to quote the movie Super Troopers all day. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with just quoting the movie Super Troopers all damn day.
Mother of God.
So, Arlo, does your mom bring over any other uncles? Or aunts?
Any older boys?
Any older boys?
Maybe one of them you call uncle? We're five. We got to stop.
The movie is so
stop this.
The movie is so stupid. Oh gosh,
that's my car. That's my girl.
844 GSP ESPN is the phone number. Do you have a problem with Coach O doing what he did in the locker room? If you haven't heard it, you're living under a rock. But if you haven't heard it, we will play it for you next. It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the radio.com app. Liter of cola? Do we sell liter of cola? We could go all day with the super duper. The super trooper quotes, I should say.
You mean the super duper trooper quotes?
The super duper trooper quotes. What's the name of that restaurant with all the crazy stuff on it? Shenanigans? Speaking of shenanigans, there were some shenanigans pulled in the locker room of the LSU Tigers on Saturday, following their victory over Alabama. Now, I didn't have any particular problem with this, but some people did. Coach O was, well, just himself.
We're going to beat their ass in recruiting. We're going to beat their ass every time they see us.
How's that?
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Roll Tide, what? F*** you.
Yeah!
I see nothing wrong with that. And apparently that has also spawned a bunch of T-shirts that say, Roll Tide.
F you.
Yes. I want one of them, by the way. I would totally cop one of those T-shirts, if you will, if I was a discerning public member in the Baton Rouge / New Orleans area. But Coach O addressed this today. He said he talked with the young man, and he said, you know, he wasn't doing it maliciously, wasn't trying to take advantage of a situation or defame Ed Orgeron. We're seeing this happen a lot more. Antonio Brown had this happen. I want to say there was another scenario that happened. I can't remember who it was in the NBA who did this. I think it was the Toronto, maybe, happened in the playoffs. Just don't put your phone on in the locker room, man. Like, seriously. Like, why?
Because kids have to put everything on the internet. Everything has to be on the internet.
I mean, like, I understand. I'm holding my phone in my hand. I'm obsessed with this little device. This device keeps me from more activities than I am readily willing to admit. Like, I don't go to movies because of this thing. I'm going to a movie tonight. I literally want to throw this thing in the drawer, but I can't because it's addicting. Yet, I know full well that if there's something that is meant as privileged information, like the sanctity of a locker room, I would like to think that other people have the kind of common sense to not broadcast privileged chats from the head coach to the players inside the locker room, even in the afterglow of the celebration of a victory of that nature.
Yeah, you'd be wrong.
Apparently, I'm wrong.
Have you not seen YouTube and what, you know, young people put on YouTube?
Young people. So you're saying this young people. You're saying young people's
young phone. People. This particular offender is 18 years old.
You sound like such an old fart when you say things like young people.
I thought that sounded better than saying kids these days. That doesn't sound much better at all either.
It sounds just
it's the same thing.
Sounds literally.
I didn't have a better word to use.
Snozzberries taste like snozzberries. We'll come back. We have some calls we want to take on the college football playoff. Who's number four? And also, are we heading toward a life without buyouts, especially after what we've seen at Arkansas, as well as Florida State, maybe even here in South Carolina? Willie P. and Diesel, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.